I'd like to read the latest version of the prayer list. All those killed by natural and man, prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Venerable Gelton Youngchen, Linda Judge, Ballard Morton, Caitlin O'Hara, Tashi Robton, Wayne Vogel, Kiri Kadro the Red Hawk, Mooncalf the Kitty. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Travis Boone, Brian and Brandy, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Sarai, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Kabje Lamazon Perimpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Lundum Tendron, Venerable Nawang Kando, Venerable Gelton Dokar, Venerable Shirky Lamo, Venerable Dechen Dokar, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, Jerry Anderson and family, Jorge Aurelio, Aisha Bano, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcis Barona Sr., Susie Boehm, Luke Bryant, Yuki Burrows, Betty Chow, Ted Domi, Tashi Roma, Ryan Edmonds, Mary Lou Flynn, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Kay Hansen, Christina Harrison, Annie Hassel, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnson, Barry Judge, family of Linda Judge, Florence Kaplan, Helen Kasanoff, Jessica Kasanoff, Jonathan Kramer, Angela Kressline, Carol Lang, Shantun Kurt Latimer, Linda, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, Robin Lynn, R.M., Georgia McDonald and family, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Kathy McDonald and family, Elvia Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, Jason Miller, David Muller, family of Ballard Morton, family of Chrissy Mucha, Audrey Murphy, Stephanie Murphy, oh thank you, Evan Merlin family, Fran Nash, Jessica Nunley, family of Caitlin O'Hara, Marie Oliver, William Stover Oliver, Jay Pandya, Sheila Parker, Lindsay Piatti, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shah, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Jampa Tashi and Mother, Lobsang Topten, family of Wayne Vogel, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowiki, Marguerite Young, Dorje and Kadro the Pigs, and Raven the Cat. So good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lamo. Welcome to the Kadampa Center. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through the door. And if you've never been here before, you'll see him prostrate to the altar. And he invites us to prostrate along with him. If you feel uncomfortable doing so, please just remain standing. That's perfectly fine. And then we'll say some prayers. They're either in this gold prayer book. If you have one, if you don't, you might have a white binder, and so the prayers are in there, this first page with words on it. I think it says Kadampa Center Prayers, and I'll tell you which pages they are. Let's see. The first one is on page 183. And then I'll tell you which ones follow. Geshe-la has asked me to remind people about the benefits of circumambulating the stupa outside. That's a big structure outside with all the pretty designs. There are many dharmakalic relics and other holy objects inside. And so because of that, it's a great purification practice, a way of accumulating merit by just walking around it. It's a symbol of the Buddha's enlightened mind. And also to spin the prayer wheels, there's some right outside this door and also outside as you go to and from the stupa. Each time you turn the prayer wheel, there's an example of one right there on Geshe-la's desk. You get the merit of saying all the mantras that are in there each time it goes around. So, you know, it's like saying, and they're mani mantras. Om mani padme hum. Children are welcome to come and sit in the front here. That sort of helps with all the movement of the children when they go to their classes. Let's see. If you have cell phones on, if you please turn them off or put them on my vibrate so as not to disturb the teachings. Now, last week, Geshe-la said that we will be doing some discussions. So if Geshe-la invites people to give comments or ask questions, please wait until you get the handheld mic and then put the mic almost right on your lips, really close to your mouth. Otherwise, it doesn't pick up. And don't worry, the camera is pointing right to Yeshua, so they can't see you. But we are streaming this and recording this. And people who are listening, watching, who want to come but can't come, want to be part of this this class experience. So please, speak loudly and wait for the microphone so everyone can hear your question or your comment. I think that's it. You're welcome to bring drinks into the Gampa. So, okay. In the Gold Prayer Book, would you please turn to page 183, and we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra between the two lines. So it's the first page in the white binder. It says Kadampa Center Prayers. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book, and we'll read the four immeasurables in English one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Let's flip the page to 37. And we'll chant the... Four Immeasurables chanting version toward the bottom of the page. And if you have the white binder, it's the words by the music notes. Sentientam chedevadam de chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times. the Buddha of Great Compassion, and then Green Towers Mantra 7 times, the deity of enlightened activity. Not veiled by any fault, white in color, whose head a perfect Buddha crowns in light, gazing compassionately at all beings, to you, Chen Rezik, all-seeing one, I prostrate. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to the classes.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Maybe we'll begin with a short meditation, okay? Meditation. So, you can do analytical meditations or analytical meditation, or you can do review meditations, or you can do single pointed meditations, or breathing meditation. It's like same, like single pointed meditation, breathing meditation, single pointed meditation, pretty much same, I think. Mainly designed for the beginner, not for a beginner who's trying to develop their concentration. So, so there's number of meditations. So whatever meditation that you like to do, maybe next 5 hours. So whatever meditation you like to do, okay, breathing meditation, 9 round breathing meditation, or like 21 breathing meditation, review meditation, single pointed meditation, okay, short meditation. just finished 5 hour meditation. today some discussions, okay. Few words about nine-round breathing meditation. Nine-round breathing meditation. So most of you probably remember. So some of you are here first time. very, very simple, very simple meditation. And so benefit cannot be much explained in the words. That only comes through. When you do it, when you do the meditation, then you experience the result. Oh? You will notice something, some differences in your physical body or maybe in your mind if you do the meditations. But I'm not ordering you to do the meditations, and it's totally up to you. So I'm just going to explain. Okay, I'm not going to order you to do the meditations. So it's up to you. So first, what happened here, we have body and mind. There's something they think, different things, all kinds of things. From Buddhist point of view, we call mind, consciousness, mental, all same, the different name, same mind. Or thought. Thought, which one's better, mind or thought? Mind is better. Better word, mind or mind, probably. So many different minds, you know. There, right? No, so every day, me for you, for me, everybody, like popcorn. Popcorn, it's like microwave popcorn, like, you know. All kind of like thoughts pops up. What happens according to Vajrayana teachings? Every thought that comes with energy. That energy can be very useful, or can be just waste. Where those energy goes, this goes to the channel. We don't have to know exactly the numbers, but there are 72,000 channels. They're located in our body. That's how we function. Five chakras, 72 channels, they're located in our body. I don't think the surgeon can find. Surgeon cannot find. I don't think there's something they can. It's not really physical. So, you know, there's dense, very detailed information about, you know, this chakra channel, the energy, the job, like how they like move energy around, you know, through chakras and channels, you know, through meditation. So all of that, if you're interested in all the Vajrayana teachings there, you know. But one important thing, you know, without a foundation, nothing going to happen there, you know, without a foundation. Some people say, oh, that's the quickest path to enlightenment. It is quickest path to enlightenment. But probably that's the fastest, has the fastest horse. But if you ride that horse, you need to see where you go. If you can't see, just ride that horse, you have no clue. That horse will probably run you into bushes. Maybe lose 1 year or 2 years, so there's nothing to see. That's important. So they always talk about foundation. Anyway, so that's another point. Here, every thought, according to Vajrayana teaching, every thought, that's important for all of us, you know. That's related to the nine-round breathing meditations. Every thought that comes with the energy, you know, it rises like rise. Energy is like horse. Every thought that rides on energy. So energy that, if it is useful, or you could say, there are two different ways to say. You could say useful or well balanced. well balanced or very flexible. There's no conversation. Tibetan word is called less roa. Less roa means, you know, you can, it's very flexible, it's not tight. It's not like tight. It's very flexible. You know? So when energy becomes so tight, it becomes useless. This is all for sake of knowledge. It's all for sake of knowledge. And I'm hoping that you learn here, then you share. You explain to other people, you know, this lead, nine-round meditation, breathing meditation. Okay, all right. So, now we have thought, energy, chakra, channels. Energy goes to the channels, 72,000 channels located. Emerge from five chakras. You know, after all these energies merge. Huh? So now, you think, I think, we all think, every day, hard to count how many thoughts pops here. Even just in the morning, hard to count how many thoughts that pops up, all kinds of thoughts pops up. So, At least every day to do some kind of single-pointed meditation. Don't have to sit down, you can stand, but think one object, you know, to learn how to place all our attention into one object. Can be your breath, can be something. So that's the way to balance the energy, balance. When all the mental attention in one place, that's how the mind gets calm. That's how the mind comes down. Not just by saying, calm down. It's not that easy. You know, you could say, calm down. So, this according to the Buddhist meditations. The only way the mind can calm down, if you focus. Focus. How I know? You have to try. Never try, and you know. That's all I can say, you know. Like, I can say, like, oh, I experience, I don't experience. I most of the time sleep. You know, so, that's my best meditation, I just sleep. That's my best meditation. The easy way to shut down all the senses. When you're awake, it's not easy to shut down, so then you concentrate. You know, automatically. So that part is a joke, so now this is not... so this is... so now... so energy that goes into channels, if this energy is tight, imbalance, cause physical discomfort. Believe or not, it causes physical discomfort. Then that contributes to mental discomfort. Then people become cranky. Cranky? I say cranky? Cranky, yeah. People become cranky. Oh, yeah. So the nine-round breathing meditation, now back to the meditation. Nine-round breathing meditation is the technique how to get rid of all this wasted energy that's stuck in our channel, how to get rid of them. So it's good to do 9-round breathing meditation, then after that, maybe 21 breathing meditation, or maybe single point, some kind of single point meditation. So, object doesn't matter. You can choose color, you can choose anything, you can choose pictures, colors, anything you can just choose. Just concentrate. And see, does that make our mind, my mind calm? It should make your mind calm. Sunday teaches. Concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. So you can try, so does it really make my mind calm and peaceful? Only reason the mind become not peaceful, not calm, because we attention or energy is divided in 100 different ways. That's why you experience calm mind, peaceful mind. That's what happens, you know. Mind kind of shatters everywhere, you know, things, all kinds of things. Huh? Then all the anxiety, stress, all of the problems, you know, so that will help if you concentrate, okay? So now, back to the 9-round breathing meditation, this is a technique to get rid of wasted energy, the stuff in our channel, how to get rid of them. So then after that, and you do single-pointed meditation based on the 21 breathing meditation or just focus on one object, okay? The temporary benefit will be calm mind, peaceful mind. So now we'll try all together. 9-round breathing meditations. I'll just, you know, explain one time, so that if you have more questions, you know, there are a lot of people, they know, I've been explaining this many times, this is not the first time. So any form of breathing meditation, it's important that, you know, you sit straight. Especially make sure that your back is straight. It's not like, you know, like that, you know, straight. So, like left hand. See, finger. Doesn't have to be like this, but no, this finger. This finger. You blow your left nostril, inhale, long, slow. You see, from the right nostril, you inhale, long, slow, okay? So the same finger, the block, exhale, long, slow. Then you do this three times, okay, you do this again. There's three, right? So now, right hand. Then blow the right nostril, breathe, inhale, long, slow. Then same. Again. Again. There's six, the second round. Each round three, there's six. So now, from the both nose, don't need to use hand, both nose, you know. This is called 9-round breathing meditations. You just sit down and do, you know, no need to do anything, just do that. You see, you can do it multiple times, you know, one time, then after that, if you want to really, okay, I really want to learn how to make my mind calm, because lately my mind has been really crazy, you know, like, really, how is it? Unsettled. Not just unsettled, very much unsettled, you know, like, can't control. So then, need to concentrate. Okay, need to concentrate. Review meditations, no, you have to send materials to review. Otherwise, no, you can't do the review meditations. You have some materials to remember, you know. So, like, based on the materials, sometimes the material could take, you know, like, hour or maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on the size of the material that you remember by heart. So then you just sit down, you don't necessarily say from your mouth, you're just sitting there, but you're thinking. we have to think. That's the only way to solve all the problems that relate to the mind. You cannot solve the problem that relates to the mind without thinking. We have to think. If somebody says, just don't think, just sit down, that's probably difficult, we have to think. That's how you solve all the problems in the mind. That's how you liberate yourself, by thinking, thinking some first, hearing something, then thinking very deep. That's how we liberate, That's how we liberate, that's how we free ourselves. We have to think. So then, it's kind of good, if you sit down, you have some material to remember, then it's going to kind of guide you step by step. You're just sitting there and thinking something, Something good, basically something good, all the meditation is something good. So that's why at the end you feel good. So that's what happened. So now, then right after the 9 round breathing meditations, so then you sit down, count your breath. Please make sure that you are 100% there. Otherwise, it's just completely waste of time. So better to listen to some music. Completely waste of time. So make sure that you are 100% there when you do breathing meditation. Then you breathe out, slowly breathe out from the mouth, then inhale from nose, that's one. Exhale. Or you can just use your nose. Don't need to use your mouth, you can just use your nose. Inhale. One, two, three. Each time when you inhale, you count. Then you can do that multiple times. If 21 is too much, you just divide, you just do 7. And 7. And 7. You just do. But please make sure that you are there 100%, not just, going in the flea market, looking around, that doesn't really help. You have to be there. You have to be present. You have to be present. Finger-pointed meditation is the technique, how to be present. You are there, present moment. You are not just not thinking something. You are right there, not in the present moment. Being present? So you use that word, I'm not sure, some literature technique. How? Is it to say be present? How? You have to think. Without thinking, you can't be present. You have to think. But think just one object, one single object. And see, if that makes your mind calm, and it should make, because it's been said, repeatedly said, hundreds of years ago, it's been said repeatedly, Sunday Chi Shi, concentrations or single point meditation makes your mind calm and peaceful. If it doesn't make peaceful, or maybe the Sunday is not right, or maybe you are not 100% there, or something, so it should make your mind calm and peaceful. So then, everything, practice, more practice. First you make some mistakes, so even anything, no practice, not much result, no practice, not much result. Even just painting a house, beginner make a lot of mistakes, no idea, put that with the drop here, drop there, then you paint 2 houses, 3 houses, then you get better and better. All practice. We are all capable, So the one example that I use, when I 17 years ago, when I came here, somebody from Kadamba said, teaching me how to type. I never saw a computer to type. JMJ, something like that. Goal is to type without looking keyboard. I say, finish. I say, just give up. I say, that's not going to happen. Why? There's so many reasons. First of all, I cannot find the key. Even though the person pointed me more than 100 times, still I cannot find. So now how you can type without looking at the keyboard? That's not going to happen. It does happen. No, it's practice. It requires practice. You can't just, it's not just simple wish. No, you practice very slow, slowly. Now, it's not a big deal. Like that. See? How that you can show compassion to all living beings, that seems impossible. Yeah, it sounds possible, seems possible. It is possible. It is possible. No? See, so many things that we think is impossible, it is possible. So this is very good example, like, you know, learning how to type. So without practice, nothing going to happen. Nothing's going to make, how you say, progress? No progress. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. No progress. No? So, yeah, we all have, regardless, monks, no monks, lay person, American, Tibetan, we all have mind. We all think. Not all monks only think one thing. No, that's not true. Monks also think 100 different things, all kinds of things. We think the same thing. So we have mind. So each one of us is responsible for make our mind calm and peaceful. That's in this what we like to do. So we need to concentrate. Single point meditation. You can do, I can do, we all can do. We need to learn to do that. So then 9 rises. 21 vidhi meditation, just sit and concentrate. Exhale from the nose, inhale, that's 1. Exhale, inhale, that's 2. Each time when you inhale, you count. Then that's good. No, it's, don't need to pay anything. It's very cheap. Doesn't cost, you know, so just sit there. And then you can improve. Then you say, okay, if you realize, oh, really, my mind does become calm and peaceful, wonderful, then please share. When the people's minds calm and peaceful, there will be prosperity in the community, you know, less violence, you know, because of the mind, you know, there's all kind of problems. So, so with that, so I'll stop here. So it's called 9 round breathing meditations. There's like 3 round, each round 3 breathing. There's called 9 round breathing meditations. If you are interested, then please do that, you know, before you do any single pointed meditation, you do that to clean, to eliminate the wasted energy. And see, if you do that, you know, as I said, practice. Not practice, you know, you can just do one time, then there's no, there's nothing going to change. Even though somebody says, oh, do this one time, you'll be enlightened. That's lie, it's just lie. It's not true. You may not see that person again at all, but whatever the person says, that's not true. It's not easy. It is complicated. Mind is complicated thing. It's complicated things. That's why life becomes complicated. Not because of the body, because of the mind. Life becomes complicated. Not because of the body. See, because of the mind, that life becomes very complicated. Very complicated. So now the point of any meditation, point is to reduce or minimize disturbing thoughts. We will be much, much better off if we have less disturbing thought. If we have a lot of disturbing thought, there will be no happiness. Doesn't matter if you are Buddhist or not Buddhist, monk or not monk, believing in something or not believing in something, same. You know, same. There will be no peace. There will be no happiness. So the purpose, the ultimate goal of meditation is to reduce or minimize disturbing thought. All of us, regardless, no American, Tibetan, believer, non-believer, if we have less disturbing thought, life is going to be much, much easier, much happier. No? Why life becomes so complicated? Not because all of a sudden you get 2 legs, 2 hands. All of a sudden you say, one hand come here, now you have to take it, there's 2 hands. It's not like that. It's here. It needs to be trained. It's here. There's so much going on here. created so much, you know, so much difficulties. So then, you know, therefore, I mean, this 9 round breathing meditation, 21 breathing meditation will help, will definitely help. If you do it, will definitely help. Okay? So with that, so now, maybe discussion about meditations, or maybe discussion about this, maybe next. And before that, please, would you mind taking, you know, 1 minute to introduce yourself to each other? Then after that, we divide the group, so they have some discussion. No? Domasi.
Okay, as we open for discussion, guests will suggest we either talk about meditation or about wisdom words from Mother Teresa that he read last week. Without prayer, there's no faith. Without faith, no love. Without love, no service. Without service, no joy and no peace. And then the other quote from her was, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. And as a reminder, we usually do our discussion where we don't break into groups. We just open it up, take the microphone, hold it up to your mouth. And we'll just pass the microphone around. And, of course, Geshe likes it that when we when anybody makes a contribution to the discussion, we all show our appreciation with some applause at the end. So who'd like to jump in first? Come on. Be brave. Okay, there we go.
So we were talking about meditation, and one of the things was how it's just not about sitting still. It's about, like, practicing being in the moment, you know, being in the present. So whether that's, like, washing dishes or riding on the greenway on your bike or walking meditations, like, you can practice it in other ways other than just, like, sitting still. It's just about, like, being in the moment and trying to stay present to that moment.
Does that pretty much encompass what we were talking about? Did you guys want to add anything specifically?
So yeah, that's about it. Short and sweet. That's all.
I remember I heard it from this nun one time that it says, meditation is like vacuuming. You might look at the room and the room is clean, and then when vacuum it, you collect a lot of dirt. And it just remind me of what Gashela said, that it says we meditate to get rid of the disturbing thought. And I thought that was pretty interesting to look at it both ways. And practice to be present.
Hi. I guess I have a question. Recently I watched a movie, and in the movie this woman was practicing meditation, and she says to her daughter, I'm practicing my mindlessness, and ha ha ha, because it's supposed to be mindful. But a struggle that I have when trying to meditate is, how are you mindlessly mindful? Meditation is meant to clear your mind, so you're supposed to focus, if you will, and not pay attention to the surrounding things. And so to me, that's mindless, but you're not doing it mindlessly, you're doing it mindfully. Does that make sense? Did I say that? Or being mindful about being mindless, yeah.
All the turn on. Mindlessness. Being mindful.
Of being mindless.
I really don't know. So, please.
Are you actually referring to the idea of having to focus on not having any thoughts? So pretty much you're trying to focus on being mindless, as in on having absolutely no thoughts and being in the moment and being at ease, but then it's kind of a catch-22 because you're trying to be not actually thinking, but then you're thinking and you're focusing on the fact that you don't have to think.
Oh my God, she gets it. Yes, that is the
because
struggle.
I'm going through that as well. So while I open my every morning at 5 a.m. I open my window and all I want to do is look at the sky and listen to the silence. And then while I do that, I start thinking about the silence and I start thinking about the birds. So I'm not really not thinking. I'm actually thinking. So I think what she's saying is that you find yourself thinking while the idea is not to think. But I think I think that in order not to think, you do have to practice a lot. I don't know how, actually, I think you're right. Like, how do you practice so much to where you can be just sitting there and not thinking about anything and, I guess, just, you know, meditating, levitating, as you see in some books, and not having anything around you touch you and touch your thoughts and your mind?
And yes, and then there's the gently guide yourself back to when you stray and you start thinking of things. So if I sit still long enough, I'm going to start thinking about things I have to do that day. And, oh, I haven't done this. And, oh, let me check my schedule and let me do this. And so then it's like slowly guide your way back to not thinking that way. But in doing that, I have to have a mental process of, okay, wait, no, we're not thinking about that right now.
Like a target of redirecting your thought towards nothingness.
Yes.
Yeah, I think some of it comes down to are you in control of your thoughts or are your thoughts in control of you? So if I'm trying to sit and be still and think, I can't get rid of my thoughts, but you know, thoughts are there all the time, but I want to be directing them. I want my thoughts to be focused on the thing that, you know, the thing I'm trying to concentrate on. And what I've found is that at some point I'll lose control. I'll lose that direct experience, and I'll start on this thought chain. And the thought chain is like what you're talking about, where, oh, there's laundry, or this other thing, or this other thing. And at some point, I realize, wow, I am 4 or 5 degrees away from where I really wanted to be. So let me abandon that chain, you know, recognize that, and get back to me telling my thoughts what to do.
I think
not my thoughts telling me.
It really helps Cisco saying that when he goes to the gym in the morning, he focuses on one thing, and that is breathing. So if you just focus on breathing, and that's only one thing, and you can do it progressively, as in you start with 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and then you progressively just focus on breathing, then you can actually take everything out of your brain, right?
Breathing and practice. I'm a big believer that the way to get there is through practice, and by making it just a regular thing, some days are going to be phenomenal, other days are going to be a struggle, but over time I'm getting closer to where I want to be.
That is true, yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm.
Hello. I think, too, for myself anyway, is not to underestimate the power of some of the mechanics of meditation. I struggled for years trying to meditate on my own before I came here. Well, I was sitting in my closet, and I ended up thinking about what I was going to wear and how I was going to clean out my closet. So that's embarrassing, but I moved to another place. I moved to another place in my house, which is another room that's dedicated to another purpose, but I carved out a little space with a certain pillow, a little altar, which just happens to be in a little bookcase that's used for something else, but I have this place. And having the time, the place, and the mechanics all worked out for me started helping me. And then all those things about what you're going to do for the day, I've heard some people say, well, they take a piece of paper, and if something comes up that they think they have to do, they write it on the paper and put it aside. Or maybe you could do that even before you meditate, something to get those things away from you. And I think if you just keep at it, you'll learn how to develop some control over all these distractions.
Yeah, I'm still at a beginning level in my meditation, and I'm working on that just concentration meditation and breathing meditation. And I found the same problem. I found myself frustrated because my thoughts would be jumping. And I was talking with my sister about it, and she said that merely recognizing that your thoughts going off is a significant step in meditation. That, okay, I'm not on my breathing anymore. Recognizing that is a significant step. Our normal thought processes goes from this to this to this to this. And you go to that breathing meditation and recognizing that, oh, now I'm thinking about my dishes, or now I'm thinking about the argument I had at work, is a significant step. And then she said a good thing to do there is recognize that's my cat meowing and let it go. That's me thinking about my work and let it go. And then back to your breathing. I mean, I think the higher level of that single-pointed is what's called calm abiding, which is at the high level of meditation. And not easy to achieve it. I mean, it's really a high level. So, I mean, just to recognize the distraction, you know, that's an ambulance going by my house, and then let it go, and then back to the breathing. That's actually meditating when you're recognizing I'm off it. You're meditating.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever gotten this question from monks or lay people, but what if, say, the person had a broken nose and they can't breathe very well through their nose, so their meditation is off, and then they can't, you know, breathe very well at all, so they start to, like, have anxiety about it, and they have to meditate to help that anxiety, but they can't do that because they're breathing. So... What is someone like me that has a very badly broken nose that interferes with my breathing? It doesn't look like it, but...
Very good question. Yeah. Very important question. Please, donation. Tips.
Yes.
Tips, no donation. Not like some want to say something.
Well, all of us have a physical... I don't know your name. What's your name?
Christian.
My name's Kim. All of us have a lot of physical hurdles to meditation. Yours sounds like it's up here, okay? I've got something in my back, you know, and it's been around longer than you've been alive, okay? and it gets in the way of me being able to meditate because it's constantly saying, Me, look at me, listen to me, I heard, okay? It's like something like a thing of trying to breathe, you can't breathe, and oh, I can't breathe, and so it's constantly thinking about what you can't do, right? Does that sound right? Yeah. And that focus is, for me, oh, I heard, I'm never going to be able to sit here, you know, I can't concentrate, this is ridiculous. So, first of all, you're not alone in the problem, okay? It's just that your problem is in the area that Geshe-la is talking a lot about, okay, in terms of breathing in, especially with the 9-round breathing, okay? So the Venerable Steve was here one time. You may not know him, but you might look him up on the Saint Google. And he told me that I was like, I can't sit up. All I do is think about the pain. And he said, well, why don't you lie down? And I was like, but you don't do that. You know, that's not how you meditate. And he said, who said that? And I said, well, that's just the way it is. And he said, the way it is what you can do. That's the way it is. And he said, lie down. I said, but I'll go to sleep. He said, no, eventually you'll stop going to sleep. Okay? All right? So is there any other way that you can get breath into your body? Through your mouth. Okay. And have you tried that, or has that been like, no, that's not the way you do it? You think, oh, that's not the way you do it. I better not.
Yeah, I've always been told that you're supposed to breathe in through your nose and breathe out your mouth. So that's been like fertile.
Exactly. So I'm going to hand this over to Geshe-la and ask him pointedly, Geshe-la, is it okay to meditate by breathing through your mouth, in and out,
yeah,
through the mouth?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
So, so in the other way, you know, you can use your hand to concentrate. You don't have to just breathe. You know, you can just. So there's like 14 like movement of your physical hand. You know, like the whole idea is, you know, to make sure that we put 100% our mental attention to any movement, or whether it's breathing. You can just, you know, let's say this is my lap, just, you know, because you can see here. So imagine this is my lap, now this is your hand. And you sit, you know, concentrate, then you slow, slow move your hand like this with full awareness. So that you don't need to breathe, you know, you can, you know. Then there's one, you just move slowly, slowly. Then you move up. Then you move here, like near to your tummy. The other hand, same, slow move with the full attention. Otherwise, as I said, it's completely a waste of time doing nothing, you know. We have to be 100% present there. So then move there, there's three, and there's four, and move this below other hand, there's five. So then six. Towards heart, six, then eight, then nine, then put it back, 10. So then move it up, 11, then there's 12, then there's 13, there's a 14. There's 14 movement. You can just use that. You don't have to worry about breathing. So also, you know, you can just breathe from your sorry to hear that, you know, you have like problems in the breathing from the nose, but that's not the only way you can develop your concentration. If somebody says that's not correct. There's many, many different ways. Or you can just think something, you know. You don't have to do anything, you just think something, you just concentrate there. Okay? Yeah, wonderful question, yeah. Just one second. Kim, anybody want to say something? Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I'm next. Okay. And I did want to say to you also something that I use in yoga is called Ujjayi breath. And it's when you can constrict your... You can't hear?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Ujjayi breath. It's like U-J-A... And you constrict your throat. If you're doing it correctly, it sort of sounds like there's an ocean in your throat, and you, it's like a, and so you're using this, and you don't use your nose to breathe.
Oh,
so
can you demonstrate, please, can you demonstrate? Yeah.
I like it's getting like warrior too. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but you, that's coming here.
What is it called? Yeah. What is it called?
It's called Ujjayi.
Ujjayi.
You use it in yoga.
Ujjayi.
It's called Ujjayi breath. It's a pranayama, which is a type of breathing.
Oh.
And it's very calming. I mean, almost instantly you feel your nervous system start to chill. So
maybe it's, you know, good to share, you know, sometimes here, you know, get group together to share.
Yeah,
that's wonderful, because, you know, we all need help. Whatever ways we can get help, that's good things. And that's very good. Thank you very much. Maybe something we can share. Yeah, you know, in the group that we can lead, you know, that people can learn. That's very good. Yeah, wonderful.
My question is, you know, when I meditate, I have the same problems everybody else does with the monkey brain, and you go off and you think about yesterday and tomorrow and later, and, you know, you're just constantly bringing it back to the breath. But I hear tell of this, I don't know if it's an ultimate goal or if it's, you know, an advanced practice, but that you get, as you meditate more often, you know, you recognize these thoughts and there's a pattern. You know, that through meditation you can see, you begin to see your true self and who you are, and maybe even further down, like what your purpose is. And that's revealed to you through the stillness of meditation. And that seems, and it just, I have a huge conflict in my brain about that, because it's, am I supposed to be just concentrating my breath, or am I supposed to be, is this just going to all fall together and the pieces are going to come to me as I sit and see these thoughts and let them go? Like, at some point here and there, do I get this? I mean, I know that you never reach, you know, you get like little glimpses of enlightenment. You know, you never stay there. But, you know, how is that possible? And is that really a thing? I mean, can you learn about yourself and, like I said, who you truly are without all these distractions in the stillness of meditation? And, you know, that, and then also for me, this is sort of a different question. I can meditate on my breath, but if I try to meditate on a thing or a thought, or like I'm going to meditate on peace or sending loving kindness to this person, I mean, the distraction factor is awful. Like I can't do it, you know. It's too much for me. I have to do my breath, and that's about it. But if I try to meditate on a concept or a thing or a goal, it doesn't happen. So I guess those are two questions. My main question is the first one, though, and your thoughts on that, or someone else's thoughts on that.
Okay, so first, let's see.
Was it Christian? So I've had the same problem that you've had. I've broken my nose several times because of wrestling, and I found out that when I broke my nose, my septum kind of leans more to one side, so it's a little bit harder to breathe from one side of your nose than the other, but the other side's a little bit more open. So usually what I did, it's kind of weird, but I'd push over a lot, and I'm trying to sniff through and get more air coming so that way it opens up. Another thing I did was I cleaned up my diet, because whether you believe it or not, there's a lot of mucus up here in your nose and up in your nasal cavities. So if you're cutting down on sugars and cutting down on a lot of processed foods and even cutting out red meats and dairy, definitely dairy, you'll notice that a lot of that mucus goes away.
Me? So I would just like to remind everybody that there's some really good spiritual programming, and it's in the program here. We have Meditation 101, and with the Discovering Buddhism section, there are some really, really good modules on this subject, and I just wanted to remind everybody, because it's a great, great program, and I'm very appreciative. Thank you for the comments and questions.
Let's go.
Okay, what I was going to say about just like the random thoughts, at least for me, I think part of being present is acknowledging the thoughts that are popping into your head, but then at the same time, like if you're trying to fight them, then that's a further distraction. I think it's best to just like, it's like a wave, you acknowledge the thoughts there and you see it, but then you let it go at the same time, like the way that it came. And I think what you were saying, like trying to draw meaning from it, is the same. Like that's just as distracting as trying to fight it. So I think like a good part of meditation is focusing on being present, but part of being present is acknowledging the thoughts that are popping up randomly.
Very good.
I've had some grandkids being born the last couple of years, and it's always interesting when my when your kids are pregnant, you know, then you're thinking now what kind of person is this going to be, what are they going to do, you know, jobs, their whole life, you know. So I kind of turned that the opposite way for me, because I'm a son, I'm a father, I'm a boss, I'm an employee, and so I picture myself as being in a womb, and outside is where all this stuff is, but I can't even understand words. It's just like sounds, you know, that I hear if you're in a womb, you know. And so it helps me to put things down, you know, the responsibilities of my life, to put them outside, and then I can just focus on myself. Somebody said their true self, to see what that's like. But that helps me get there quickly, because I'm just like, all of a sudden, it's just me in here. And everything else is out there, and that image just helps me, so I thought I'd share that.
There's one there.
Thanks. I have to say, I have struggled with meditation. It's been a huge struggle for me, and I don't sit well, and Venerable Rabina was here once, and if some of you don't know her, she's a fantastic teacher that visits with every year. And when she said this, she said, you know, I always thought people meditate half an hour, they meditate an hour, monks and nuns can meditate all day, and I'll never be able to meditate. And she said, even if you can do 2 minutes of good meditation, it's enough. If it's good meditation, whatever amount you can do is fine. And I found that, yes, I could start doing 3 minutes, and I'm still not up to a good 15. But I learned, you know, letting go of the battle, just let go of this battle with the best way to meditate and how, you know, should I do 9-round breathing? Should I do focused meditation? I do what I'm able to do, and I get it now. And I used to struggle with the whole thing about the breath, but I get it now. I can do 3 minutes focused on the breath. And it's and I've learned how tremendously powerful it is. And I thought I could never find that. Thanks.
Can I go? Okay. Is it? So I think there's a reason we call it a practice. Because it's about repeating, and it can be a little boring, and we have resistance. And I feel like it's really similar to working out of the gym. I mean, you're going to have the results based on the time you put in, and, you know, I've experienced some stillness, but I've never experienced six-pack abs because I haven't done the work for that. So I think it's about a lot of repetition, about practicing, and you're not going to be perfect when you start, and just being able to keep going back and keep. I don't know why we think that mindfulness is going to be any easier than being physically fit, but it's kind of the same. It takes repetition and practice.
Me again. So I'm like the novice's novice, so I'm sorry if my questions are really basic. But I've heard this comment a couple times now, and I think I even used it. My question is, when do you know when it's good meditation? What does good meditation mean? What are you achieving? Are you achieving 100% stillness? Are you achieving, someone talked about gaining, oh, what did she say? Gaining what you pull from it. And so you made the comment not to worry about what you're going to pull from it, what you get from it, just to practice it. So my question is, when do you know it's good meditation or you've achieved it?
And actually, along the same lines, I wanted to ask our teacher, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what to call you. I've not learned everything yet, but
what
I think...
What do you call a purple monk? Purple monk? What do you call it? Purple.
Proper?
Purple.
Purple.
What's good?
Purple.
Purple. Purple monk.
Purple monk. I guess, Shua. So you have been going through this process your entire life. You've told the story of how you started when you were 7 years old. Mm. And so could you maybe tell us the process that you have been through in your life through the meditation and experiences and the growth? And what is it like for you at this point?
Yes. So, so I don't have any experience, sorry to say, I don't have any experience. But, you know, like, yeah, going, becoming monks in seven years old, that's like chasing desire, you know, so very small town, then go there. So then slowly, what I've noticed is like learning about, all about like, mind and all of that, learning slowly, you know, this is all gradual process, and slowly, still difficult, you know, still difficult, even like 3 decades or maybe close to 4 decades, still difficult, you know, so, and especially when negative thought arise, there's very little chance to do anything. So therefore, you know, trying every day to be mindful, maybe doing some kind of, mainly I do review meditation, you know? I know, review my materials that I remember a lot. So then kind of like reminding myself important, you know, how life, this life is how precious, you know, how difficult to find, how meaningful, try to think something positive, you know, it's not easy like just sit there trying to post something positive, but through, because when I review the material, it kind of guides me to think something positive. So then, in the end, you know, I feel good. You know, like, please don't think that, oh, like every monk there meditate like 4 or 5 hours, probably that's not true. Sorry to say that's not true, including myself. But we do sit, no choice, you have to sit. You know, when you go to prayer gallery, nobody's laying down, you have to sit. If you lay down, you get into trouble. And we said, no, that the monks do sit, can sit. Sit doesn't mean meditation. Can sit like 4 or 5 hours, no problem, can sit like that, because whole life has been sitting like that, every morning from 5 o'clock, and sometimes the whole day just sitting there. That's how we learn how to take the best nap. Looks exactly like a meditation, actually is napping. You know? So, I mean, it's when you become an experienced one, you won't move at all. If you're a newcomer, then you go like this, you know, then slowly, then you know, if you go like this, then the discipliner, we have discipliner that goes around and looking who's talking, who's sleeping, then very, very gently, not very hard, gently, then everybody sees now, you know, so you are sleeping. So then I know with all this concern that you learn when time goes by, it's actually napping. And once in a while you say, then you kind of wake up. Not like, you know, review meditation can be done like a couple of hours, you know, based on the materials that you review. But sitting meditation, it is difficult. It is not easy. In the prayer gathering, everybody sits there, you know, you just say a prayer, you're doing something, not just sitting there. And of course, there are certain monks, they can sit all day long. Like Milarepa, you know, he puts like the butter lamp, that's the traditional looking lamp, so we have here, we pour butter, then wick, then lid, puts here. Probably last like many hours. Milarepa, not me. Milarepa. Milarepa puts here and he meditates. It won't move. Some monks, they do meditate. You know, like that means they probably reach like the most advanced single-pointed meditations. They can sit there. You know, probably at some point you won't feel anything. You know, like you won't feel pain. You won't feel, because you are so focused. You know, you can feel anything. So there are monks, I'm not saying not any monks, but there are monks who can sit. But not every monk, that's not true, not every monk. Certainly this monk is not true. This monk don't sit 5 hours a day. But these monks do sleep for a long period of time. Yeah. So now, maybe just a few times, a few minutes, or maybe 1 minute, I just want to say, you know, here, that there's a couple of questions. It's very interesting that the first time I heard, like, mindful of being mindless, mindlessness. So now the question is, mindless, that mindless refers to what? That's the question. Mindless. You cannot be mindless. That's the reality. You can't be mindless unless you are dead, probably. Long as you are breathing, you have mind, you know, you do things. So the mindless, the question is, the mindless refers to what? So then if mindless refers to every single mind, then I don't know what to say. No, being mindful of mindless refers to destructive thought, then it makes sense. You can be mindful about mindless of destructive thought. That's one. So the second question that you say, like, what is the goal? How you can say that mind meditation is good? Generally speaking, you know, when you notice that you have less destructive thought, then whatever meditation you do is pretty good, it's productive. You know, that's the whole purpose of meditation, is to reduce or minimize destructive thought. When we have destructive thought, there's no peace, there's no happiness. No matter how powerful you are, no matter what kind of clothes you wear, doesn't matter, you have no matter happiness. So then the second person, a gentleman, said, it's all about practice, right? Practice, sometimes no good, sometimes good in the practice, but slowly, then, you know, you become better, like, say, like going to gym. First day is so difficult, looking around, people from other side, the problem is running so fast, you can run. You can just give up. If you really want to build your body, you can just sit around and think, okay, I'm going to gym, but you're actually not going to gym, so that doesn't help. So, like, no pain, no gain, sorry to say. You know, need to practice. No practice, then anything can be achieved through practice. So now, I don't remember, there's a couple of them. So here, in my case right now, I am ruled by my mind. I don't rule my mind. You know, there's a big problem, you know. So what gentleman said, when you concentrate, when you improve your concentrations, so that concentration will eventually rule the mind. Then basically you rule the mind, not the mind rules you. You know, so right now the mind controls us. That's why we really get angry, we do kind of things that's not very good. No, we have no clear wisdom at all when you get angry. You 100% lose your good judgmental mind. So then, that's the disturbance. The destructive thought does all so much damage in our mind. So that's the last thing that we need. So then I don't saw it, that the young lady, she asked the two questions. I don't remember, anybody remember? Maybe next time, anybody remember? Please write it down, maybe next time we can do the important question. You know? So with that, you know, time is over. So thank you very much for each one of your contributions, and we greatly appreciate it. You know, I'm not sure about you, but I greatly enjoy. So some of them, you know, makes me very laugh so hard. That's like best medicines, you know. So best medicines, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
in the Gold Prayer Book, turn to page 246. 246 in the Gold Prayer Book, and it reads, Master Shantideva's Bodhikaryavatara, a dedication. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
So we have a couple of quick announcements. First of all, as you can see here, we have this beautiful offering altar here. We had Tara practice last night, and these are offerings for Tara. And they will need to be taken down afterwards, so if anybody can stay for a few minutes and help with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, we really want to support our Tibetan community, and Geshe Tsongpo's brother and sister-in-law moved here recently from New York, and his sister-in-law Kelsang is looking for opportunities to earn, so she is available to do house cleaning, babysitting, anything in that area. She is fluent in English and she can drive, so those would not be issues for her. And then Elise has an announcement also.
Hi, I'm Elise Strieber, Outreach Coordinator, and we have another excellent opportunity with our affiliate, the Triangle Interfaith Alliance. On Thursday, February the 9th, they're having the annual meeting and dinner, and the speaker is Reverend Jill Stanton Bullard, who is a really inspiring, amazing person. She is a founder of the Interfaith Food Shuttle and the Haiti Reforestation Project. She's going to be speaking about we're all in this together. So if you need to feel inspired and you want to be around people of all different faiths and just feel like, you know, we are all in this together and get a good kickstart to this year, please join us. There's flyers outside near where you can sign up on the clipboard in the front. Thank you.
And I forgot to mention that if you have worked for Kelsang, please see me or Jill.
Hey, Donna. Donna.
Yeah?
Come here. What you doing?
Well, isn't it awesome that Geshe's back?
Oh, God, it was great. Wasn't it great last Sunday? So many people were here.
No,
the drama was filled.
I just love that. But I want to ask you something.
Okay.
So I was thinking about talking to our center manager.
Uh-huh.
I think this appeal is, like, way too boring. I'm just...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with it?
Well, have you enjoyed the skits? Don't you like those skits?
Oh, yeah. I think they're fun.
Well, I know you get a cool mutt, but I really kind of wish it was more like a school fundraiser, you know?
You've got to be kidding.
No. I mean, really, don't you like it when you got to jump rope for the hearts and go around the neighborhood in your office and collect money?
Jumping rope with my old bones? They can just jump right past me, please.
Or how about, that wrapping paper? I love that wrapping paper. I love buying that wrapping paper.
Oh, those wrapping paper. Those go on forever. I mean, they can just wrap it up. Come on.
Well, how about the chocolate bars? I mean, come on. Who doesn't like chocolate bars? I mean, really.
Yeah, like really. Like, I need more chocolate.
I
come
love
on, give me a break.
The chocolate bars around the house. Well, you are just no fun.
Well, that's true.
I bet you love the coupon books. Don't you love the coupon books? I bet you love going places with the coupon books.
You know me. I never go anywhere. What use do I have for a coupon book?
Well, then what kind of fundraiser do you like?
You know, I like it when they just ask me straight out, we need money, we need service, we need your donations. And I give, and it's over. Well, although, you know, I always still buy the stuff that the kids are selling. But I love a straight ask.
And better yet, when there's a procrastinator pledge and my money is doubled, like Canopy Center's got going on right now.
Oh, like two chocolate bars?
No, I mean, like, my gift goes straight to the heart, and whatever I give, somebody's going to match it dollar for dollar.
So, all right, I get that. So we'll put the signs away, put all this stuff away, and sign me up. Give me double. And where's that mug?
Oh, there it is.
Thank you.
That's it, ladies and gents.
Well, thank you, children, Diane, Sandy, for your wonderful acting and a perspective of what we don't have to do to raise the funds. I personally am very thankful for Kadampa Center and especially the unbroken lineage teachings offered by our precious Geshe-la. And thankful and know that 100% of my gift goes directly to the heart of what center needs. As you heard Donna mentioned, that we are in the middle of our procrastinator pledge, and that so what better time to offer your gifts of generosity than when it is matched dollar for dollar? A generous group of our own members have collectively given $3,508 above and beyond their usual gift to offer us a challenge. So all we have to do is raise another $3,508 to be able to accept their generosity. As you well know, that there's various ways of giving this your gifts. We have donation boxes, online gifting, and we can even go through the texting. We can also offer your donations through texting. So as the president of the board, I really want to thank you personally for your generosity, your in-kind donations, pledges, and mantras. And I'd like to announce that as of today, we have all recited 111,000 mantras. Geshe-la. So again, I really want to thank you, and I would like to invite Geshe-la to speak a few words.
Okay, so I'm going to only say a few words because they asked me to say a few words. Nothing really special, you know, like you, things that I used to say before they asked me to say a few words. And some of you probably may not know because, you know, some of you may think, oh, this is Gijigenek Center. Actually, this is not my center. I just come here to do my Mickey Mouse show. So everything is run by voluntaries, you know, board, everything. I have no tie with any finance. I have no control. It's all run by a group of, you know, board and everything. So this is not my center. It doesn't belong to one individual person. It belongs to all of us. You know, whoever comes to the center, this is our center. So whatever you do for the center is like throwing the water on the, well, not water, sorry, throwing the piece of stone in the water. It comes the ripples. You know, then when you throw the water, what do you call ripples? There's a benefit, you know, so whatever. Then when you come here, when you see all these people, you can rejoice, you know. This is your center. You can come here and meditate. We have a beautiful altar, you know, so you can come here. So this is for us, for you. And when you are present here is, you know, I said this many times, this is not the first time I said it, it's blessing, changing people's, you know. Because here, collective consciousness, collective energy, everybody's trying to come here, trying to be better human beings. Not necessarily to become Buddhist, but here we talk about how to become better human being, how to be calm and compassionate, loving kindness, all of that's what we talk. So when you contribute here, so then, you know, it benefits, you know, a lot of people who come here. So, and just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your presence here, your time, your energy, your contribution, saying something when we have discussions, this is also contribution too. It's not just, you know, money. So, and yeah, so very happy. So far so good. So being here 17 years, so far so good from my side. There's no any conflict, so I was very happy. So, and because of wonderful people that come here. So, and this is the result of your, you know, participation, your investment of energy, time, donation, whatever. So now, see, nice, all these facilities, children get a lot of benefit. We are all, each and every one of us, all part of, not this because of Vijayalaya. That's not true. You know, because of us, that's very true. Because of us, everything is happening. Each credit goes to each one of us, you know, equally. So I just want to say thank you very much. And have a wonderful weekend. Okay, thank you.